I really think this has all the earmarkings of being another Katrina. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I think this has the possibility of being a Katrina. And I understand that perhaps some of the areas that are hit severely, maybe you're in a little better financial situation to start with, but it doesn't mean that the suffering is less. And the financial situations can change extremely rapidly when you are in a devastating, devastating event. I want you to look at your bulletin for just a minute. I plan my sermons at least 6 weeks out. I actually plan them further than that, but I give them to Anita at least 6 weeks out. So the scripture reading and the title, 6 weeks ago. But I also want you to look at the hymns. Okay? I did these on Tuesday. Before the hurricane. Before we knew the hurricane was going to be anything like it is. I did them actually, you know, with the mindset of the eclipse, really. I was thinking to myself, you know, this is going to be a really cool thing and we can share it together. But I want you to look at what God had me choose in terms of hymns. Called as partners in Christ's service. Through it all. The good, the bad, the ugly. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Come and find the quiet center. I can't even tell you the thousands and thousands of people in Texas who would like nothing more than just come and find a quiet center. And I love your church, oh God. And we're going to want to sing that one too when we get there. Scripture passage for today comes from Matthew. God is amazing. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter asked, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. "I give you the keys to the kingdom." That phrase is not just to Peter. I think we're all probably taught when we're children, Peter will be standing at the gate with the big old book and the keys to the gate of heaven. And we'll get there. And we'll have our accounting and our reckoning and our, you know, personal inventory done. And God will say, "You were a really good boy when you did this, and you were a really bad girl when you did this." And then Peter will say, "But the Lord has said, come in through my gates." And then Peter will take the keys to the kingdom of heaven and will open the gate and will let you in. The keys to the kingdom of heaven are here and now and in you. Jesus was not talking just about some future day when you and I will die and we will go to heaven. Jesus was talking about here and now. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Now, what are you going to do with them? And Jesus didn't just give them to Peter. Yes, he began with Peter because Peter was the first one to make the confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus started with Peter, but it didn't stop there. And it isn't only in the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church would say that. I talked to the Pope just last night. Had a great conversation. He said, how are they doing in Texas? I said, not so good, you know. The Roman Catholic Church, for many, many centuries, did think they were the only ones. They were the one and only church. They didn't realize that the church was all about the whole world. It wasn't that they were trying to be more important than anybody else. It was just they didn't realize. Everybody gets the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. You have in your possession, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What are you going to do with them? You're going to just keep them in your pocket? You're going to lock them in a safe? I know we can all open a safe deposit box at the local banks, and we can put the keys to the kingdom of heaven in there. Won't they do a lot of good there? I know I'm being a little sarcastic, but I mean, think about it. Now, I want you to think about something else. How many people, and I need you to be really honest with me now, how many people in this room have ever lost the keys to their house, their car, the church, or anything else? You know what the good thing about the keys to the kingdom are? The only way, yeah, you can't lose them. Who said it? You can't, both of them did, I think. You can't lose them. You can't lose them. You can set them down. You can walk away from them, but you can't lose them. The Lord Jesus Christ gave them to you. They're in your hand. What are you going to do with them? Jesus didn't want us to just hold them. Jesus didn't want us to put a big plaque out front that says, we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Enter here, or whatever. Jesus wants us to use the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I believe Jesus wants us to do that today in our very own country, in Texas, in Louisiana, Mississippi, wherever they're going to need it. We haven't seen the end of this storm yet. It's going to do all sorts of figure eights and all sorts of terrible things. Folks, we're sitting here today, and yeah, we might get a little bit of rain. Get nothing compared to what they're suffering. So, I think it's time to use the keys a little bit. Get those keys out and use them. First thing, pray. Everybody, start praying for the South right now. We talked this morning about what an effect prayer has. I have never yet been in a church where I have not had miracles and miracles and miracles, either prior to me coming, during me coming, after me leaving. I mean, it's been like I've seen God work. I've seen God work in communities. I've seen God work in families. I've seen God work to change people's hearts and minds. I've seen God work to heal bodies and strengthen them to where they are perfect again. I have seen God do these things because people prayed. Of course God can do it without our prayer. But God doesn't want to do it without us. God wants us to use the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And one of the keys is the key of prayer. Start praying. You know? Start praying. Pray for your own situations. Pray for this congregation, sure. But this week, please, pray for the people who are suffering so much in the South. Two. Do something. Okay, I don't want to see trucks loading up to go to Texas this afternoon. They don't need us right now. There's no way we can go down. There's nowhere for us to stay. They don't have water. They don't have food. But here's something you can do. Our Week of Compassion, our Disciples Home Missions, collects and prepares cleanup buckets. Anybody ever heard of that before? Cleanup buckets? Okay. You can go on the website. I'm going to punish the publish. I'm going to punish anybody who doesn't participate. No. That's not up to me. That's up to God. You know when you get to that kick, that gate, and I'm going to publish what each bucket has in the call this week. Start collecting. We'll send them. Okay? We want to send cleanup buckets. That's the first thing they're going to need. Now, you don't have to do a cleanup bucket by yourself. If finances are tight, and I understand this, get together with a couple people and do a couple buckets. If you don't have time, I understand some of you are working, 11,000 hours a week. That's fine. Just give a donation for part of a bucket. But we can do this, people. We can do this. This is something we can do right now to help these folks. Three. Later. I really want to see this church step up. I want to see people volunteer to go on a mission trip with me to wherever we're sent in the South. I really want you to start praying about it now. It'll be several months before they'll want us. But I really want you to start praying about it now. I know for some of you it would mean that you would have to take off work. I understand that. And I know that that is a tough choice that you have to make. And I will understand if you can't do that. It does not have to be just the men. It needs to be the women. It needs to be our kids. It needs to be whoever can go. There will be something for all of us to do. I have led mission trips before. It is one of the most holy experiences you will ever have in your life. And I want you to start praying about that now. Because when the time comes, we'll have to move quick. We'll only have a couple weeks to get ready when they let me know that they're ready for us. It doesn't matter if you think you can't do a thing. I am no carpenter, I am no plumber, I am no, anything, but I did so much stuff after Katrina. You know what one of the best things was? When we gutted houses that had been flooded so badly that they were going to have to start over. Now, I didn't have an injured shoulder at the time, but I tell you what, I took that sledgehammer and whoa! I got all that frustration and aggravation out of me. I came back a whole new woman! You can too. Picking up and carrying. Taking supplies. There's so many things that you can do on a mission trip. And there's so many ways that your heart will be touched by getting to know the people. I really want you to think about this. Jesus handed us the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys he handed us. That we're to pray for one another. That we're to work to have supplies, to have things for others who need it, and that we're to work with people. Here in our country, in Mexico, in Jamaica, and wherever we're needed, we're here, able-bodied, for the most part, to work. The keys to the kingdom of heaven aren't just those someday far-off keys in heaven. They're right here. They're right now. They're in you and me. And we need to use them. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have handed down the keys to heaven to us. You have entrusted us with your ministry here on earth. You have entrusted us with the ability to love others unconditionally, to just touch their hearts and their lives, even with prayer. Lord, we ask you to help us fulfill our promise to serve you in whatever way we can, with whatever talents we have. We ask you to help us fulfill our promise to serve you to the end. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is, O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 612. I hope that as you stand up to sing, that you'll start getting some urgings and greenings and all sorts of stuff that will help you know that you need to answer the Lord's call to use your keys to the kingdom of heaven. Let us stand and sing.